This is Heather Johnson, and you're listening to the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, episode number 159, Intuitive Leadership in Life and Business, a conversation with Samantha Bowe. This podcast is for people who want to take their health physically, emotionally, and spiritually to a whole new level using Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing tradition from India. This is the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, and I'm your host, Heather Johnson. Welcome to the podcast today. We have a special treat in store and a topic that we have never covered before. And so I think it's going to really pique all of our interest. And I'm super excited about who we have on today. So I'm going to introduce to you our special guest, and then we're going to jump into an amazing conversation, I can already tell. So we have with us today, Samantha Bowe, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about her, and then we'll get to her story, because I think we'll learn a lot just from learning her story. But she's an international business coach. See, this is new, friends. We haven't had someone on like this before, but she specializes in working with entrepreneurs in the field of wellness and personal development, with so many of us are in that space right now. And she's created a program called Zen Boss Academy, which the name alone is just epic. I love that. And teaches experts and coaches how to build an online brand, launch their first digital course, and sell with integrity. And I know within the space of wellness, sometimes that can be challenging. We feel like we can't sell because we're, you know, wellness coaches or wellness advocates. So I'm excited to hear more about her journey. She is also has a thriving Reiki practice, which is a beautiful practice in San Diego. She facilitates virtual readings around the world and then has a unique healing modality called the Soul Essence Readings, which I'm hoping we'll get to hear a little bit more about today. So she's been featured in Forbes, Authority Magazine, and Thrive Global. And we are so pleased to have her on the show with us today. Welcome, welcome, Samantha.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to jam out about all this.
Well, and it's a space we haven't talked about very much, but before we started recording, we were talking about how this is something that I think will resonate, especially with my audience who is interested in taking their, what they're learning in the wellness space and sharing it with others, maybe through a business or an online platform or something like that. But it applies really to everyone. I think that we need to all find our voice, no matter if it's a business or not.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really natural when we find something like Ayurveda or anything that we're passionate about to have that little seed of, ooh, like I want to share this with people. Ooh, maybe I could make a living off of this. Like it's very natural and exciting.
And there's also that conflict, especially in that yogic space of austerity, right? We don't feel like we can desire to have wealth, or we can desire to have success in a financial sense, but that's truly one of the key components of being human. And one of the four main desires that we go for anyways, is to have that success in a monetary stance. So I think we have to really work sometimes on mental thoughts, and we'll get into that. So I digress. See, I'm already excited to jam with you, but I want to hear, how did you end up doing this? Like, what is your journey that got you to creating Zen Boss Academy? And just what was that evolution for you as a person? And how did this all come to be?
So interesting when we reflect on our stories. And recently I started telling it a little bit of in a different way. I used to say like I was a natural born entrepreneur, because I kind of was. Like I really beat to my own drum. I like to lead. I like to go for the president of clubs and just like, you know, I was really comfortable being seen and sharing my opinion. And so it was very natural for me to always think, even going through college, like, I'm not going to get a job. Like I would tell all of my friends who are going for banking and this and that, they're like, so what are you going to do when you graduate? I was studying advertising and sustainability studies. And I'm like, nothing. I'm just going to maybe like try to do people's social media, or I wanted to be a yoga instructor and maybe I'll travel and like promote myself on there. I was very like wide-eyed and like faithful. And now I'm realizing while that was all true, there's also a piece of it that maybe some people can relate to, which is I actually didn't really feel like I had a choice of being an entrepreneur. So a lot of times I think people see entrepreneurship as like a privilege, which it really is. I mean, even the country that we live in, to be able to just decide, oh, I want to do my own thing. Great. Mm-hmm. I established this. I can make money. It's a huge privilege. And my dad became really ill when I was in graduating high school. And so as I was in college, it was, his health was so up and down, and he was like such a fighter. Mm-hmm. So we always thought he was going to get better, and then slowly realized it was just going to keep declining. And so when I was graduating, actually about the year after graduation, he got diagnosed with end-stage renal failure. And I was working for a startup at the time, but you know, I was the CEO of it, which I kind of fell into very intuitively, had a gut feeling that this soup company was going to be amazing. I was like, do you need an intern? They said, yeah. I went from that to the CMO to the CEO, was launched into the venture capital world and realized I loved branding and selling and social and publicity. But then, you know, because of his health, I was like, I need to make my own schedule. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have an option. That I don't, there's not even a thought in my mind that I'm going to either stick with this thing that I kind of fell into or go apply for jobs at like an agency. I needed to like be at the hospital with him and help him with dialysis. And I needed to be at the nursing home with him. And mm-hmm. my sister was in law school. She didn't have that flexibility and privilege. And yeah, so looking back, I'm like, wow, I actually didn't even think of it because I just wanted to prioritize me being able to be with him. So it was a very interesting journey.
Well, and you look at the blessings that come out of really difficult times. And that sounds like that was one of the blessings that came out of that is being able to juggle, you know, creating a career, but also getting to be with your father during those special, special times, because you can't get those back. So I'm glad that you had that blessing or that opportunity to be able to do that. And I think so many of us have a really difficult time with the thought of going to a job. And it's funny because my whole family is very entrepreneurial, like every single one of them, all of my siblings and their spouses and everything. And when they talk about jobs, they're really funny. They're like, I'm just choosing where I want to go to jail if I got a job. And I'm like, well, you know, we do need to have regular jobs at different times in life. And my kids are at an age, they're all teenagers and they're all getting summer jobs right now. And so I think there's a lot we can learn from that. But I also think we can create so much when we don't have some of the parameters that are restricting to our lives in that way. But so you decided you wanted to be more of an entrepreneurial spirit, but how did the wellness side come in? Because it sounds like that's a part of you, at least from the spiritual aspects. I mean, that just using the word Zen within your, you know, title, there's obviously some spiritual aspects to how you're creating what you're doing.
Yeah. So I was raised Italian family. Like we really ate carbs and cheese. And meatballs. Like, I hate to be stereotypical, but that was life. And so when my dad started getting sick, I was like, I should look into some health stuff, like for him. And so I started reading some books about like gut health and just I was watching wheat documentaries and all these things. And it really sent me down a spiral. And, you know, it started off kind of slow, like as it does. I was like, you know what, I'm going to just stop eating gluten and like see how I feel. And that was like, I felt like I was betraying my family when I stopped eating gluten. I was like, they are going to exile me and absolutely think I'm nuts, which they all did. But now like none of them eat it and they all feel so much better. So anybody who's slowly like trying to help your family out, like it might happen. It might not, like just keep doing you. But anyways, so I started to feel a lot better just implementing healthier eating and like lifestyle for me on top of just the stress of being a caregiver through that whole time. Like my sister and I were his primary like medical advocates, everything. Mm-hmm. So I was so stressed out. I mean, like fear nonstop of, is he going to make it today? What's going to happen? What's going on? There was a constant, like really life or death situation. And so I remember I was talking to one of my friends in college about it. And she was like, I'm taking a meditation class at school. They have a whole like health and spirituality program. I went to University of Florida and I'm like, oh, I should enroll in that. And so then I started meditating daily. And my first gig was, you know, in this startup, and they were a healthy soup company, like vegan adaptogen infused. It was created by a naturopath. And so I really like mentored under him for about 2+ years, and he was a genius. And then when I decided, okay, like I need more freedom, I want to work with more businesses, I know I love doing this, I'm like, you know what? I only want to work with people who are doing really good things. Because I remember when I was learning advertising, I went to this meetup where they took like ad professionals and, you know, chatted with the students. And I said, I'm like, well, how do you feel though when you get McDonald's as an account Like, do you feel kind of crappy that you're like making these ads? And everybody in the room just looked at me like mortified that I had said something to like one of these fancy executives. And he said something like, honey, doesn't matter, you're making money. Like something like out of a movie. And one of the women after was like, don't listen to him. Like, you can find something that's aligned. And I'm like, oh yeah, I am. And I'm only going to work with people who are going to use advertising and sales and marketing, which are so powerful and could be so manipulative if they're in the wrong hands. I'm going to use it and I'm going to give it to people who are going to help people not have to be in the situation that like my family and I are in.
That is so beautiful. And what a brave thing to even ask that question. I mean, sure, in that space. I mean, having been in a university setting like that, that's kind of bold. Awesome. Good job.
Yeah.
Good on you. And they're like, excuse me. So you kind of evolved and then you start working with businesses. So are you working mostly with people who've already founded and are established? Is it more someone who, you know, I just finished Ayurveda school and I really want to bring this message to people. What do I do? And I want to talk about this whole idea about being an intuitive leader. So let's kind of tie that all in together to kind of give a capstone to that story and then segue into what is an intuitive leader, because you really have to be a leader in your space to be bold enough to even start a business, truly.
Oh, absolutely. So I work with a mix of people at various different stages, mostly with early stage. So the people I can think of, like multiple clients who were fresh out of Ayurveda school and were downloading the freebies and Googling it. And they're like, I do not want to do this by myself. I need help. I need a community. And that's Zen Boss Academy. So Zen Boss Academy is typically people who are just starting, but they have an idea. They're not at the phase where they're like, I want to help people, but I have no idea at all. I have other like little offers to get clarity on that. But Zen Boss Academy is really like, I know what I want to do, but I'm not exactly sure what my niche is, what my offer is. I have no idea how to sell, no idea like what to call myself. Social media is a black hole, all those kind of things. And then that's where we teach, you know, all of the things I just mentioned and more.
So funny. I teach a class at the International Institute of Ayurveda to their first level Ayurveda students. And we do a whole module just about setting up their business, because it isn't always intuitive, because we are trying to learn our craft and then we're trying to learn a whole nother part of business about how to actually implement and share that. Where does intuition come into this when we're wanting to, you know, tap into our gifts? Because really when somebody's in wellness and they're in healing, and whether you're going to create a business or not, it's a gift that you're being drawn to that. Like there's a portion of you, like this seed energy that's yearning for something more. And so whether you're going to share it with others or you're just going to share it with your family, like you have to follow that intuition. But I feel like that's hard to do sometimes. And we can almost feel like we're trying to take two things that don't match and put them together and feel a little bit of dissonance about that. So I don't know. Is that something that you see with people when they come to you? They're like, oh, but I don't really want to sell.
I just
want to share. I just want to give this stuff to everyone, which does, it's not sustainable. They'll burn out and they'll stop doing it. But it's, how do you help them with that concept?
Every single day, this is a conversation that I have. So sometimes I can help by giving my experience, by sharing people's experiences. And sometimes people just have to live it and they have to go a period of time where they're charging, you know, pennies. And what it's this really like, it's a beautiful concept to think, oh, like I love this thing so much. My energy is just going to carry me through. Like I want to share this so badly that it doesn't matter. Like I'll take 50 people in my group and like charge them $100 each and spend hours and hours and hours like working with them. It does not add up. There has to be an equal energy exchange. Mm-hmm. And really money, I think, is so beautiful because it's like the cleanest thing I could actually think of. I'm giving you this and I'm going to give you this. And here is exactly the exchange. And then as an entrepreneur, you get to feel it out. Like that didn't actually feel that great. Okay. So then you decide, was it because I didn't charge enough and I'm actually giving way more? Because when we give energy, I like to think like we're actually giving our own money, right? We wouldn't just like throw money away willy-nilly, but we do it with our time all the time. So every time I'm taking time, like even this podcast and all the people that are listening, this is a form of money that I'm giving everybody because I want to, and I know I'm going to get it back tenfold. And so There's part of just understanding, like, there's going to be a sweet spot for you of like what you charge and what you get back. I could say a lot more about the money thing, but one thing you did say that I think is interesting is people really think that business and their purpose, their passion, the thing that they love, their gifts that they want to share with the world are so different. And I actually think it's like the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. I really don't think there's that much of a gap at all. There's no reason that we can't be as natural and as excited when we're in a sales conversation than we are just with our girlfriend hanging out, telling her about all this awesome stuff that I'm learning. It's really just practice.
I fully believe that. Well, I think if you carry that passion into the conversation, it's almost, for me, it's almost like I know how transformative these teachings are and how the implementation can change your life. So to me, it's almost like I'm doing a disservice if I'm not sharing it, because then I'm hoarding this knowledge and I'm hoarding this gift that I could be sharing with people and they could be having transformation the same way that I've experienced in my own life. I heard this really interesting thing today. I was flipping through the radio when I was driving from the office and just some random, I don't even think it was a radio station I've ever heard before. And it was actually like a religious station, but when it came on, it said, it was talking about time, like we were just mentioning, and that when you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. And so always make sure the thing you're saying yes to, whether that's serving a client, whether that's sharing information, whether it's taking time to sit down and do a podcast, that you're also weighing, what am I saying no to? But at the same time, if I'm saying no to something, it also gives me the opportunity to say yes to something else. Mm-hmm. And so it's an important balance that we're making every single day. And I've got young children. And so when I say yes to something that takes me away from time with them, in an essence, I'm saying no to them. Right. So I have to make sure I'm using that valuable time. I like to call it like the pranic energy. You have so much pranic energy that I'm using it wisely, because there's only so much you have to go around, and you want to maximize really your impact on the world, whether that's your family or people in a larger sense. Totally.
Absolutely. Yeah. And with that, those sales conversations too, and just starting, so the only difference between starting a business and doing what you're doing now is that you're actually going to be getting something back, because likely you're already talking about it and doing all the things. So I'm just laughing about the whole thing. So I think about so many examples of people who just have a hard time with this, but I really don't even like to use the word sales if possible, because sales implies that you're trying to sell something. And I'm not just saying this to say it, like, I never try to sell anything. The minute I feel like I'm trying to sell somebody, it is blaring warning signs that this is not a right fit. Because if I am trying to prove to somebody that my product or my style of teaching is right for them, I am off. That's not my job. My job is to just share what I love, what I know, show my personality, be real, honest, in integrity, human, and just let it be what it is. If it's not a good fit, forcing it, that's what makes business hard. It's when we take on clients that intuitively we know shouldn't have come into the program. It's when we launch things when we actually weren't ready to. And maybe we actually pushed ourselves a little bit too far, or listened to a coach that was like, just launch. But like, your nervous system wasn't actually prepared to be seen in that way. Or maybe you were so worried about somebody thinking that you were selling to them, when really that's not your responsibility at all. It's just your responsibility to share. How they perceive you is completely out of our control. So like, we really just got to let it go.
It's so funny. As you were saying this, I totally thought of a life analogy. So I have a daughter who's 20. And she's starting to like date a little more seriously with people, you know, not really, but you know, a little more. And so she's so worried about how she presents that she's almost trying to sell herself all the time. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
In a very wholesome way, but she's trying to present this front about who she is. And I love when you're saying you just share, and really it's really none of our business what happens on the other side. It's, am I authentic in how I'm showing up? And I think that's true in business, relationships, life, the way we interact with people, that we have to show up and have integrity in who we're being, instead of trying to force something. And the people who you want to spend time with, that you want to work with, that you want to have a relationship with,
they come into your space because of who you're being, not because you're pushing something at them.
Totally. Yeah. And integrity, how do you define integrity? I'm curious, because this is a word I've been obsessed with lately.
Well, and I go the circle because I've done a lot of different, you know, life trainings that define it differently. But for me, integrity is being true to who you authentically are and showing up as that person in every situation and not changing who you are based on the situation. It's being you fully. I know sometimes integrity can be, you know, you are your word, but I also think sometimes we say things that we don't truly mean because we're not in integrity. So I think integrity starts before you ever speak. It's not what you're saying. It's actually showing up as you. So for me, that's what integrity is. What is it for you? I'm curious.
Same. I love the way you phrase that. So I just say, like, when my insides match my outsides.
Yeah.
And I think that as if I honestly could give any just suggestion is evaluate in your life when you are like, you like yourself the most. So like, I'm thinking, I just visited my best friend for the last 20 years in Los Angeles. We spent a week together. And I mean, I just feel so beautiful when I'm with her. Like there, like we were taking some selfies and I'm like, oh my God, like, is that me? I feel so beautiful and like energized and happy and silly and goofy. And just so connected to who I am. Like we're total soulmates and soul sisters. And, my fiance is like, what? I knew it, but no, we're soul sisters. And I was thinking about it and I'm like, you know, that is really, so anyways, recommendation wise, evaluate when you really are like your truest best self and like just repeat that in your business. You're not gonna be able to do it all the time, just like you're not gonna be able to do that in life all the time, right? Stuff happens, but in like the highest impact areas of your business, which to me are marketing and sales, and of course anytime you're like creating something, like putting it into your course or a caption, really just do the things in life that make you feel great. Like keep spending time with those friends, like keep doing your hobbies and align them with your business tasks, because that's when things are going to feel really fluid. If you all of a sudden treat it like this job that you have to be like super serious about, and like, I'm a leader and I'm an executive, like you start to sound weird. Like I know I did. I was like, who is talking? Like, I don't sound like this in real life. Why am I speaking this way? I mean, some of the things I'm like, oh my gosh, like this, so that was weird.
But it happened. So funny. I love that. So in Zen Boss Academy, is your goal to, do you work one-on-one with people? Do you put them in groups? Like how do they function within that space? They get out of, you know, yoga training and they're going to go change the world. My sister did this. She was darling. And I'm a yoga teacher. So I totally understand that passion when you are like ready to launch yourself on the world. And especially right now, I think because so much is all virtual and you really could launch a yoga business virtually within a weekend, but they're like, I'm so ready. I'm going to go and do this. And then they have no idea what to do next. So what do you do with them in Zen Boss Academy? Like, I'm so curious about this because truly 3-4 years ago, when I got done with my Ayurveda training, I would have loved to have something like that. I think I just kind of stumbled my way through for a little while till I found my groove, but it could have been a lot faster. I think so.
Totally. So Zen Boss Academy, it's my like whole heart. So you're fresh out. You're like, I want to make a difference. We've had people who just stick to like yoga teacher, yoga offerings where say they're just filling up retreats and they want to travel. We've had people come in that want to grow their online membership. So lots of different people, lots of different success stories in various ways. So they come in before we do any outward stuff, really, like we got to address who we are. That's like intuitive leadership to me, is before we just start leading, even if you don't have a team, I think sometimes people think like leadership means that you're like leading this whole crew. You are leading your vision. You're going to be leading your community when you start to share and you start to, you know, have followers on social media or people that you're corresponding with on email. Anybody listening to this, like, I don't even see leading either as like I'm in front of anybody who maybe hasn't started their business. I'm like next to them holding their hand. And I'm like, maybe we should try this path. What about this? Like, does this feel good for you? Here's this strategy that's been really working. So the first chunk I'll say is all about like identifying your area, or let's say even first your story. So like what led you to this moment, identifying all of the ways that you have been preparing for this your entire life, sometimes even before you were born. Sometimes it starts with our ancestors that have led us to the purpose that we're carrying out now through our businesses, and identifying and building confidence in our own stories. How do we see ourselves? Because that's how the world is going to see us, how we speak about our journey. And a lot of times people, you know, even like Oprah and J-Lo have said they have imposter syndrome. So like, if they have it, we're all going to have it. Like, it's very natural. It's just part of being a human. When we can actually tally up all the hours, all the time invested, all the mistakes that we made, it doesn't only matter about the degrees or the certification. Sometimes it's just our lived experiences. So really starting to see ourselves as that leader. And then we also start to narrow down. I have a very interesting take on a niche. I don't like to pigeonhole anybody because I think some people are really meant to serve a dynamic group of people, mm-hmm. but still have a spotlight on an area of, let's just say, human that you want to serve, and starting to do the market research to really learn and understand how they're speaking about their problems. Because oftentimes when we start to progress in our passion, we don't realize like, oh, we don't even talk about the same things anymore because we've healed those areas. So then we have to kind of go backwards, and I take them through like a robust market research process so that they can actually learn how to speak to people where they're at and then be able to guide them to where they want. So that's the first chunk. Any questions there?
Well, I just was thinking about that is such growth that's required just in the participant, because oftentimes I like what you said right there at the end, that when you've healed from something, it's like you don't even speak to it anymore. But there are so many people who are still in that same space that are still suffering with whatever pain that you were suffering with before. And I think really from an Ayurvedic standpoint, we doshically deal with things differently, right? And so we may feel like we're kind of covering things up. Maybe we're like, everything is fine. We're kapha. We're like, it's all good. You know, I'm not going to delve into that. I just want to be comfortable. I don't want to feel anything again. Like I've worked through it. Whereas maybe they didn't really, they just kind of like covered it up with other things. But then you have, you know, Pitta's going to like go fiery and into it. And Vata's like, I'm afraid. Like, I don't want to go there again. It was painful enough the first time. I don't really want to think about it. But there's always somebody on that journey or path that isn't where we are yet, right? They're wanting to be there, but maybe they're where we were several years ago. Maybe they're where we were even, you know, 2 months ago. And they just are wanting to have that next step. They want to have that light to show them where to go next. And I think that's a beautiful thing that you spend time with that, because figuring out why you are and where you are is really important. Because if you don't be honest with that, I think it comes through when you share your story with people, because absolutely. They're like, that doesn't sound very realistic, or that sounds fake, or she's glossing over details, or there's, you know, there's more to it. And I think sometimes being vulnerable is very challenging, especially depending on where you've come from, what your totally. Dosha is. I mean, we're guarded oftentimes when we've had hard things happen. So I'm guessing that is a transformative section within your academy, because they're having to really delve into things that maybe they dealt with. And so they're like, I don't really want to go there again, but they have to kind of resurface that so they can speak more clearly to people.
Totally. And, you know, we of course use discernment. Like I say, during those trainings, like some things are just for us. And that's okay. Like me being able to talk about my dad's illness, I could not talk about that in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like I was living it. I was dealing with it. I was really in the trauma and the throes of it. And so like, that's okay. You don't have to share everything, and you may never want to share those things, but I do think I can see it when people are on social media and they're sharing, and there's just something missing there. It's kind of like, it's like, well, why are you really here? Like, how did you just pop up in this space? Like, do you really have something that led you here? And you mentioned this, which is something I forgot to say, is not only the story now, but what's the story for the future that you want to build? And so often we underestimate how powerful it is when we don't not only share our story with people, and it's so seen and celebrated as something like miraculous that like we have made it this far, and that that's actually something to be proud of and something to share, something that builds your character and your credibility. But also when a group of people look at you and say like, that vision and that story that you have for the future, I can see it for you too. Mm-hmm. Like that's beautiful. Like you can absolutely do that. And that's just when the fire starts.
When it's kind of like inviting people along on an adventure, right? It's like, this is where I've been. This is where I'm at. This is where I'm going. Do you want to join? Do you want mm-hmm. to be part of this? And I think that enthusiasm and that true, authentic, like we said, integrity in who you are comes through, and people love that. That's just what they are drawn to. Okay. So people figure out their story. They know who they want to talk to, really. I mean, who mm-hmm. are they wanting to serve? That's why I like to think of it that way. So what are the next steps? Because I think that's important foundation work, but I know my pittas are listening to this and they're like, yeah, but what's the nuts and bolts and how do I actually do the thing? You know, cause that's just what they're like.
Yeah, totally. Okay. I got you, pittas. So the next is actually getting into like the juice of it. So what is your main offer? And people could have multiple offers. I'm totally cool with that, but I really recommend, and I know even for like my manifesting generators, they're like, I don't want to pick one thing, but I really recommend it. Like try it. I'm not saying you have to put down your other creative endeavors. Like you can still do those, but when you're building trust with a community and you're first starting off as a business owner, you really need to like invest in, I don't want to use the word perfecting, but whatever, I'll say it, refining your one core offer. And so we create that together, and that looks different for everybody. It can be a digital course. It also can be like a full retreat. It's what your soul client transformation timeline is. And I walk them through that whole process and really give them the options of what you can include in a program, in a one-on-one practice, in a group coaching program. Or like one of my recent clients, she was a yoga instructor and she wasn't doing a course. She had a membership, but the same rules apply. You're still taking people on a journey, and it's part connecting with who that soul client really is at a soul level, but also on the physical level of like, okay, where are they hanging out? How do I start connecting with them without feeling super awkward or feeling really salesy? Who are the partners in the industry that I'm going to connect with? I give like a step-by-step roadmap for all of that. And then I'm there to just encourage them to actually do it and sprinkle in that mindset stuff, you know, that we need to just literally get out of our heads so that we can actually do this work and not think that it's just absolutely terrible and get that validation that what you're working on is actually probably life-changing and so incredible. And then from there, it's all like building the social media communities, you know, starting to actually market yourself and your offer, go out and tell your story, make those partnerships, nurture those relationships that will turn into clients. And then, sales, which is my favorite, because I think sales can be really healing if you're just like being a human and listening to people and offering up something that if you're in Zen Boss Academy, your requirement is that you are doing something that is improving somebody's life. And like, how amazing is that, that you get to share a little bit of that in a conversation and really see somebody. And then we launch. So what a launch looks like is like your, you know, your party, like, hey, so people do, webinars. I walk them through a whole training for that. People also call those masterclasses or workshops. And then I also run people through challenges. People do yoga challenges, different, you know, pieces of Ayurveda challenges. And then at the end, they promote their programs or their retreats or their offers, and it's high vibe and we hold your hand and it's awesome.
I love it because everything you're talking about is tricky on its own. But when you have somebody to walk you through it, because I'm hearing you and I'm like, yep, I remember trying to figure that out in the beginning. I remember trying to figure this apart out. And I think depending on who you are as a person, you're going to have more of a tendency to say, oh, I can just do this on my own, or I want to have help with it. But I can tell you, even with all my pitta, I think having support is so helpful because it's kind of a lonely space when you're trying to share something that you are, it's almost like you're giving birth all by yourself. It's like, do you want a doula and a midwife there, or do you want to do it by yourself? Because I, for one, have had 4 kids. I did not want to do them all alone, because creating a business sometimes feels like that, like you're having this baby and you want to have someone help you through this because it's really, really challenging.
Yeah.
But when we go through these experiences and we grow like this, I want to relate that to those who maybe aren't, they're like, okay, I have this beautiful thing that I know, but I don't want to create a business with this. So intuitive leadership, I think it transcends creating business. So I wanted to speak to that part for a minute. So just that we really nurture and teach that part of the audience, like how is that something that they can use in their life, even if they don't want to start a business?
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody is leading in some area of their life, whether they're recognizing that they're leading it or not. Like likely you're leading your family's health choices and where and how your children and your family spends your time. Like you are absolutely the leader there. You know, we're leaders in our communities. Oftentimes we find ourselves like leading, you know, various creative projects or like friendship decisions or vacations. And so I think intuitive leadership absolutely applies to everybody because it's the continued process of returning back to your truth. And what I've been really playing with lately is, you know, that's said, but it's like, okay, well, how do you do that? What I've been playing with a lot lately with intuitive leadership is recognizing that it's not actually about all taking, not taking action. So like when I hear and I've studied a lot around intuition, it's like, just be still, like get really quiet. And actually like a lot of times you have to actually move. You actually have to like do something. You actually have to take the action. And to me, like intuitive leadership and like intuitive decision-making is not that like, I'm going to get everything right. I remember, and this still happens. Obviously I'm like, I really thought this, like I felt it in my gut. I like checked in with my angels. I journaled about it. I channeled and it was like a disaster. And then I'm like, no. That's the point. The point is like, okay, like, can we look at that with a grand perspective? Can we still be faithful, like full of faith that our, whatever just happened was still in highest service to us, like, mm-hmm. and immediately. And intuitive leadership to me is like that gap of time where like shit is hitting the fan and you actually can recognize, and not from like a spiritual bypass perspective or like toxic positivity, but truly in your heart, realize, oh no, this is actually what it's supposed to be. I trust that this whole thing, I chose this for a reason. In my gut, I knew this was the right path. And I may not see why in like the next 24 hours, but if I keep looking back, I could connect all the dots of every horrible situation that has ever happened in my life, even ones that, you know, are like worst case scenario. So yeah, that's a little bit about intuitive leadership.
Well, I think it's a journey we're on every single moment because we don't know what's going to happen next. And even our best laid plans, we're having to step into faith with that. And yeah. Fear is such a prevalent thing, I think, in the world right now, in our society, and this an inability to really feel vulnerable, be exposed, follow our gut feelings because we're afraid of, well, what's going to be the consequence of that. Mm-hmm. And so even just that what you're teaching and sharing to people, I think is helping to reduce that fear because it's giving faith in its place. And it's interesting because fear, there's an absence, right, of something. Oftentimes people think I have fear, I'm experiencing fear. Fear is an absence of that faith. And from an Ayurvedic standpoint, it's an increase in vata. It's an increase in that space or that etheric energy that then creates that excess movement, that anxiety, that inability to be with what's happening right now. It's that just overwhelmed feeling that we get when we're afraid. And fear is, or faith is the opposite of that, right? Faith mm-hmm. creates that grounding. It creates presence. It fills that space, reducing that vata movement energy and allows us to actually be settled. And mm-hmm. so I think, I love what you said, you know, people think, oh, I have to be quiet and still to have intuition. But I love that you said you have to have movement because I think you can't experience what's on the other side of fear unless you take action and move and then step into faith because it's that faith that requires you to move forward.
Yeah.
And tying that all into intuitive leadership, I think that's beautiful because we don't always think we're leaders. I think everyone is a leader. You're even just leading yourself, like letting your highest self lead and let that ego kind of sit back, take the back seat and let yourself actually lead yourself.
Yeah. Your definition of fear was so beautiful. I love that. It really is the absence. And I remember I was in a hypnotherapy program a while back, and she asked, like, what do you want to gain at the end of this? Like, what do you want to move away from and move towards? And I said, I want to move away from fear and I want to move towards faith. What I realized through that process was, like, my dad's health was declining and everybody was like, just have faith, right? Like, probably many people feel how I am speaking now. They're like, okay, yeah, easy for you to say, like, what is the purpose of this crap storm happening in my life? Like, yeah, okay. And that's how I felt too. I'm like, you know, everybody's like, have hope, just have faith. And I'm like, this, the ship is sinking. Like, how am I supposed to have faith? Because hope and faith to me meant he was going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And I realized, oh, that's not the definition of faith. Like, that's not, that actually shouldn't be my definition of faith, because that means that I can control the situation. And we all know that we can't. And that is, to me, like, my faith, my God, my spiritual practice is keeping reminding myself that, like, I am not in control. And that's part of the beauty and the fun of life, right? And so, yeah, I just had to really redefine faith. And you mentioned it's like a grounding. And I realized, oh, my faith is that I'm going to be okay no matter what. And what reminds me that I'm okay and that I'm safe, it's my friends. It's my partner. It's like beautiful nature. It's connecting. Like, you're my faith. Like, my business is my faith. Like, that is my spiritual practice. My clients are my faith. Like, those are the things that keep me here and keep me out of fear. So I just think if we could keep focusing on those things that bring us back to our truth and bring us the most, like, joy and peace in the moment, everything's okay.
I love that. Well, the only time you have to live is right now, like in this moment. And faith keeps us here. Like you said, I love that. It's so beautiful. This has been an awesome conversation. We've kind of just gone around a lot of things. I think it's great. Yeah. So when you're sharing this with people, how do they find you? How can people find Zen Boss Academy? I'm assuming that's maybe the website that they would go to.
Yeah. So you can Google Zen Boss Academy. I think that actually my SamanthaBove.com will come up. Hopefully by the time this comes out, we'll have its own URL. But it's just SamanthaBove.com, and then SamanthaBove.com/ZenBossAcademy. And that's the best place. You know, same thing on Instagram. There's a Zen Boss Academy and then there's a Samantha Bove. I'm pretty active in there. So if you wanted to reach out and ask questions, we have also a Facebook group called The Abundant CEO. And those are usually the best places.
Oh, that's fun. So are you at some point going to create offerings for those who just want to learn about intuitive leadership, but they don't want to start a business? Because I feel like there's something there if you aren't already.
Totally. So I have a couple of different things. I do private mentorship. So, you know, my main focus is Zen Boss Academy, but if somebody is called to work one-on-one, or is maybe a little bit earlier, or they just want to work on intuition, I have private mentorship for that, which is anywhere from, like, you know, 3 to 6 months long. And then I also do smaller mini readings, which are really, I call them the soul essence reading. And I love
essence. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about that. Yeah, Thank you. Okay. So tell about that for a minute. I don't want
to
go
to develop your intuition and your leadership in your life, or maybe in your business or family or whatever, I would say just start there. Like, there's 30-minute readings. They're quick. The purpose is to really get you back into that center. And then also to give you any divine, you know, faithful insight that I'm receiving, that you're likely going to receive when you're in that relaxed state.
Is it combined with some of the Reiki practice? Is it kind of along that same vein?
Yeah. So Reiki is really my base. That is what, like, activated, I would say, the majority of the gifts that I use now. I'm just, like, so grateful for Reiki, because I really do feel like it just opened me up in a way that I, like, had prayed for all my life, and looked at other people like they were special, which anybody listening to this that wants to develop intuition, psychic abilities, like channeling, connecting with, like, what I call your spirit squad, like your ancestors and your angels, like, you can do it. Like, the best teachers in the industry will tell you, I'm not special. Like, it's just a skill set, like business and sales. But yeah, so sorry, I think I rambled for a minute.
No, I think that's so beautiful, because it's a whole other side of you. And I think it's so good for everyone to hear that there's not a dichotomy there. Like we can be an integrated whole and use our spiritual gifts and our soul gifts along with our physical gifts and tangible world things that we need to do to actually make ourselves move forward in the world. We can't just sit on a mountaintop and meditate all the time. I mean, as much as that would be super awesome, I just don't think that's very practical for most people. So yeah, it's good for them to know.
That out. It is. Yeah. It's integrity. It's like, mm-hmm. you know what? I want to do both. And I can, you can, we all can. There really is enough space for it.
And that is so true. There's unlimited possibility and abundance for everybody. So mm-hmm. thank you so much for coming on today, Samantha. It was a pleasure to get to visit with you more.
Yeah, you too. I hope that everybody takes something away from it. This was really enjoyable.
Well, excellent. Thank you guys. And everybody just look into SamanthaBove.com and get some more information if you want to learn more. So thanks so much for being on.
Before you go, was this episode helpful for you? Well, the most helpful thing you can do in return is to leave a review in iTunes. The reviews are what keep the podcast going. And be sure to subscribe and share this episode if you loved it. You can connect with me online at AyurvedaLifeSchool.com, on Instagram, and on Facebook at Ayurveda Life School. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.